Greetings. Do you know, it says a lot about you that on a miserable Monday evening, there's so many of you here. It just speaks of your hunger, just speaks of the move of the Spirit among you that you want to know more and to know more of Him. And that's my heart too. Story is told of two neighbors. One kept prize-winning dogs, hunting dogs, and the neighbor kept prize-winning rabbits. And they had a very thick fence between the two of them. But the man that kept the rabbits went on holiday, and he just said, "Look, everything's in order. Someone is taking care of things," but he said, I just thought you ought to know that I'm on holiday. 2 days later, one of the dogs came into the man's house with a dead rabbit in its jaws. The man was absolutely mortified. And he thought, oh, this is one of my neighbor's prize rabbits. So he climbed over the fence, having cleaned up this dead rabbit, brushed it, and put it back in the cage. When the neighbor came back from holiday, he said, "I just think I ought to warn you, there are some very strange people in the village at the moment." Only he said, "Before I went on holiday, I buried a dead rabbit right by the fence. Someone's picked it up and put it back in the cage." Now, I just want to say to you tonight that if we deal with things that you've already dealt with, and as far as you're concerned, that's dealt with and dead and buried, forgive us. But this is a vast subject, and I just look around the room tonight, and there's a wealth of knowledge here. And so we're bound to touch upon things that you're perhaps only too familiar with. But as I said last week, we're on a journey, and we're just hungry to know more of Him. Tonight, we'll have a visitor. We have a visitor with us, and I'll introduce him in a few moments. And hopefully, towards the end of the evening, if the Spirit moves accordingly, maybe God will release some words among us this evening. But I want to set you up in advance for next week, because we're going to have a very practical session, and we're all going to be involved, and we're all going to learn from one another and be hearing God together. So I'm excited about all He's doing in our midst. A few verses from 1 Corinthians 14. "Pursue love with eagerness. Make it your goal. Earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy, that you may speak a new message from God to the people." Speak words of prophecy. Speak words of consolation. Speak with compassion. Speak encouragement. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church in spiritual wisdom, devotion, holiness, and joy. For too long, the church has been a non-profit organization. Yeah. I'm relieved to say that's not original, I'm glad. But prophets, you know, have always been the deliverers of the church. It's through the prophetic ministry that we get taken from one stage to another. The prophetic ministry is needed at every level of the church to preserve its integrity and its freedom. And without the prophetic ministry, the church can so often become a spiritless organization. You know, it's our heart's desire tonight that we would just know Jesus at the center. That we will just go away from this place tonight full of the Spirit of God. Prophecy opens our eyes to God's love and care. Prophecy restores our soul, renews our mind, renews our spirit. Prophecy counters poor attitudes. It counters negative concepts. It creates understanding and appreciation of our personal value. Last Monday evening, we were concluding. Time was running out, but we were beginning to look at the importance and the need for the prophetic gifting in the church today. And I've just put one little hand out. I'm not going to spend time on it tonight because I want to give time to Ian. But it is just that, when I was here with Morris last year, I handed this out on the last session of the summer Bible school. But it's such a profound teaching. I'm only going to give the headings this evening, and that is how the prophetic utterance can help us in our spiritual warfare. This is a situation regarding Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, a time of invasion. If you pass that little handout there, you'll see it. The Moabites are attacking God's people. Jehoshaphat calls the people to fasting and to prayer. And the simple point I want to make at the beginning of the session tonight is to say this, that very often when we are surrendered to God, surrender is a huge lesson in and of itself. But when we come to an end of ourselves, the prophetic can come to the fore. The nation was seeking God. The nation was pouring out its heart before God. And then the prophetic word comes to Jehaziel. And you know the word, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. This is not a battle that you need fight. But Jehaziel says this, position yourselves. And I think that one of the things that God is going to do over last week, this week, and next week, he is positioning us to know more of his victory, to know more of his love and his grace. Also on the table, you will find a piece of paper with 9 dots on it. And as Ian gets ready to come to speak to us, can I ask you please to each have that piece of paper? Those of you who are familiar with this, just do it again. The challenge is to join the 9 dots in 4 straight lines without taking your pen off the paper. Okay? So you keep your pen on the paper, join the 9 dots together in 4 straight lines. Ian Ormisher. Ian has become a very good friend. Ian lives in Cambridge. Ian is experienced in the prophetic ministry. He's traveled widely. He's written a book about his journey in the prophetic, and I have half a dozen of those tonight. If you would like one, Ian is not trying to yield profit on this, but they're £5 each. You're very welcome to contribute £5 and receive one of these books. If there are demand for further ones, well, Ian will leave some with me and they'll be available to you next week. But it's a joy for me to have Ian with me because I want to relieve you from hearing my voice all the time. And Ian moves with a great anointing, and I know that you're going to be blessed by the things he shares and by his ministry tonight. Lord bless you, Ian.
Good evening. So tonight, my briefing was talking about encouraging the prophetic gifting amongst God's people, and that's us. So I know that John's already covered a lot of things about the prophetic, So I might duplicate a bit of what he said, but that's because I just want to lay some groundwork as I just explain things more. So I'll start with a definition of prophecy, and I know you've got notes, so if you want to add as well, then you can. And my definition of prophecy is quite a simple one, really. Basically, you hear God, and then you speak what you hear. So that's quite a simple definition. And so then the first question about that is, so we hear God. Can anyone hear God? Can anyone have that ability to hear God? And the answer to that is, yes, we can. Jesus talked about the good shepherd in John 10, and he said that he was the good shepherd. And he said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. When you decided to follow Jesus, then you heard his voice, you heard his call, and you responded and you followed him. So every one of us who's made that decision for Jesus and is following him has heard that call at the beginning. So we heard his voice. So we all have that ability to hear his voice. So what do we then do when we hear his voice? What do we do with the things that he tells us? And so it's important that if we hear God speak, that we go back to him and ask a question of God. Is this thing that you've shown me, is it for myself? Are you speaking to me? Is there something that I need to do about this? And if God is speaking to us about something that we need to do, then we need to be like Mary, who was obedient when God spoke and did straight away what she said. What God said. If God gives us something for somebody else, then we need to ask the question, is this for prayer or is it for prophecy? Because quite often God can give us things, show us things about other people, and that's actually for us to pray for them, not necessarily to share with them. So we don't need to share everything that God speaks to us and shares with us. Sometimes God will give us things for the church, for God's people. And again, that might be, is that for prayer? Is God showing us things that going on in the church that he wants us to pray about? Or is it something that we maybe need to take a step further, maybe speak to the leadership or to share in church about? And then also, sometimes God can show us things for the nation. God might show you, talk to you about things that are happening in this nation, or you might see something on the news and it just stirs something inside you and you think, that's not right. And you maybe, want to pray about that or do something about it. So that's like a prayer response to it. But another response could be, maybe God wants you to do something about that, to actually speak out a word of prophecy to the nation. So yes, what do we do when God speaks to us? So then the question is, well, how does God speak to us? I'm talking about God speaking to us. How does God speak to us? And the main way that God speaks to us is actually through the Bible, through God's word. As we read the word of God, I'm sure you've found this quite often, like a verse will jump out at you or something will just really speak to you. And it's like God speaking to you. It's like his voice as you're reading the words. That the Bible was actually inspired by the Holy Spirit. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that God spoke, people spoke as the Spirit prompted them, as the Spirit moved them. So the Holy Spirit is actually the author of the Bible. He spoke through the people. He didn't overwrite their will, but he spoke through them and they wrote the words down. So he's the author of this book. It's the primary way that God speaks to us. Also, God can speak to us through an inner voice. So maybe, like a witness in your heart it's just like God speaking to you inside and you just hear him speak. Sometimes God can speak to you audibly outside. So there's a bit with Samuel, when he's a little boy in the temple and God kept calling him and he didn't know, he thought it was Eli. And he ran up and he said, no, tell God, speak, Lord, and your servant hears. So that was actually audibly outside that he heard it and not an inner voice. So God can still do that. God can speak to us through other people as well. You know, sometimes somebody can say something and you just think, that's God. God's speaking. Don't just limit God speaking to you through Christians. You know, quite often God can speak to you maybe through your work colleagues or, you know, through other people as well who don't know the Lord. You need to be just open to God speaking to you in different ways. I didn't put this down, but, you know, like God spoke through to Balaam through a donkey. I'm not saying that we should listen to animals, but I'm saying that, you know, God can speak to us through, you know, through different ways. God can also speak through angels. Very often you'll find in the Bible that God speaks through angels to people, angels in dreams. You know, I was just reading about Joseph and how, you know, God warned him in a dream. It was an angel who spoke to him and said, you know, you need to flee, you need to go to Egypt. It's very common. Which leads me to the next one. God can speak to us through dreams. So sometimes it can be literal dreams where, you know, it's like God speaking to you in the dream. Otherwise, other times it can be symbolic dreams. And God can also speak to us through visions and through trances and things that we, see outside of us. That's something that happens in the Bible. People like Ezekiel and Isaiah and people, you know, prophets like that, they have these amazing visions and they wrote them down, recorded them. John, whole of Revelation was a vision that he had. We should be open to these things. You know, it didn't finish with Revelation. God still speaks, to us in many different ways. So I've got here talking about, prophets and seers. The word in the Old Testament, that one of the main words that's used for prophecy is nabi, which I'm sure, you know, you'll know being fluent in Hebrew. But it actually means like flow. So it's like a bubbling up. That's what the word means. So it's like when the prophecy comes, it's like a bubbling that comes from inside and you just speak the words out. That's a prophetic way. There are also in the Old Testament people who were actually called seer prophets or seers. They'd be called seers. I know like we've had a plug for my book, but I've got, there's a chapter in the book that actually talks about the seers in the Bible. There's actually quite a number of people who are actually called seers. Like Samuel was actually called a seer, Gad, Zadok. And they were also called prophets as well. And it says that sometimes seers were called prophets. So all seers are, it's just a way of God, that God speaks to this particular person or groups of people. And it's like a visual way, as opposed to like an audible way that maybe, you know, you hear inside or something that's bubbling up from out of you. So God can speak in many ways to you and through you as well. So don't limit, the prophetic has to be in a certain kind of way. Yes, how do we grow in the prophetic? I suppose these are things that I found, you know, in my experience, but also, some of them are actually in the Bible. So I found give what you get. And do it as quickly as possible. If God gives you something to share with somebody, then take the risk, be bold, and actually give it. And I found that as you give it, that God will give you other things as well. You can hold on to these things and not give them, and maybe, you know, even though you know you should, and you'll find that you know, you'll get less and less, prophetic things. Because God won't trust you with words if he doesn't, you know, if you're not going to share them. So give what you get and give it as soon as you can. Take risks. Be prepared to take risks. Sometimes it can be quite a hard thing to do, to actually prophesy. But taking risks is how we grow in faith. It's John Wimber who famously said, faith is spelt R-I-S-K. And if you want to grow in the prophetic, then the prophetic is a real faith gift, so you need to grow in faith as well. And it's not like tongues where, you know, you can just like blubber away and hope that somebody gets the interpretation. It's like, you know, you're speaking English words and people very, you know exactly what you're saying. So you really do, you know, there's an element of risk in stepping out and speaking those words. Read the Bible and try and, you know, it is God's word, as I was mentioning before. Learn how God speaks. You know, that this whole, like Isaiah, is just chocker full of prophecies, and that's how God speaks. So learn the language of prophecy. You know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, some of these big prophets, just get used to the way that God speaks. You know, if you feel that there's like a passage that you want to share in church or something that you want to share, then have a look at the passage and maybe, you know, close the Bible. And when you go to the front, just try and speak out what you know of that verse or those verses. That's like a great way of like stepping out initially in the prophetic. You're speaking God's word, but it's like it's coming from you. You know it anyway because you've read the passage. But it's like just taking that little step and having a go. Find a prophetic mentor. I'd really encourage you to do that. Somebody that you think is just slightly ahead of you or a lot ahead of you or whatever, and just spend time with them. Ask them, you know, how did they start? What did they do? What they recommend that you do as well. And then I've put down here, track the accuracy of your words. Get feedback. So this is quite risky. But it comes in the faith category. You know, it's easy. So, you know, if I give words out later on, I might never see you again. So, you know, in that respect, you know, you think, well, there's maybe no risk. But track your words. So I in the past, have tracked my words. You know, I've been to places, I've asked people afterwards that I've given words to, you know, did that resonate? Did you feel that was from God? And check back later, you know, 3 months, 6 months, you know, did that happen? If you give a word that's got like a time frame in, then, you know, and if you're saying in a year's time this is going to happen, then go back to the person and ask, you know, did that happen in a year's time? And if it hasn't, then, you know, just say, well, I'm really sorry, but, you know, I really felt that, you know, that was from God. We need to be the ones who take the risk. And if we get it wrong, then it's our responsibility. It's not the person that you've given it to. So if you take responsibility for the words that you give, with feedback, then it's, you know, going to bless the body of Christ. But there's, you know, there's risk involved in that because you've got to find out if it worked. I've talked to like prophetic people and found out from them what kind of like accuracy they have. I've seen, you know, even great prophets get it magnificently wrong. Nobody gets 100% accuracy in words. So we need to be prepared to get it wrong, to take those risks. And that's why it's really, really, really important. I know I've put it a bit further down, but that love is our motive. You know, when we give a word, we want people to go away and feel that they're loved by God, that this was like a love encounter. So even if we do get it wrong, they still feel loved, they still feel encouraged. And if that's your motive and that's your goal, then really you can't go wrong, you know, in what you're doing. So make sure that love always is your motive. In Galatians 5, verse 6, it said, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So faith expressing itself through love. And the prophetic really is a stepping out in faith. Galatians 5, 6, it's on the other side of the piece of paper. Sorry. So the question then is, if we're going to track our words and if we're going to find out are they accurate or whatever, how do we judge a prophetic word? You know, what kind of guidelines can we have for judging prophetic words? And I've just given a few here. One of the most important things is that it mustn't go against Scripture. You know, so whatever somebody's saying to you, it mustn't go against the Word of God. At the end of the day, that's our bottom line. So it mustn't contravene Scripture. Also, it should have a Holy Spirit witness within us. You know, when we receive it, when we hear this word, it should just stir something inside us, and we say, "Yeah, that feels like it's from God." There should be like that witness inside. And if it just makes us feel, then that's, you know, God's saying something to us really about that, you know, that word. Should leave us feeling loved by God. And it's good if the word that we get confirms something that God's already said to us. Confirmation is a great thing. Of course, if it's the first time that you've got it, then you haven't got anything to confirm it with. But the second one can confirm the first one. So if it does confirm something that God's already said, then that's a good indication as well. If we're getting to the point where it's the third time, like God said the same thing to us and we haven't done anything about it, then maybe it's time to act on what God's speaking and be, I'm sure I put that down, didn't I? Be obedient. Yeah. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. That's what Mary said at the wedding of Cana, wasn't it? You know, she said to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. My story. Right, okay. I've written this book, really, which is kind of like my story of my journey into the prophetic, and particularly the seer aspect of the prophetic. For me, the entrance into the prophetic was baptism in the Holy Spirit, which I know, you know, was talked about last week. But that's how it happened for me. I got baptized in the Spirit, and I just wanted to prophesy. That was like what happened. So whenever the Holy Spirit came in power, all I wanted to do was prophesy. So that was kind of like an inkling of maybe God was calling me to, you know, to step out into prophecy. Also, I read in, I haven't got it here, in 1 Corinthians 14, it said, desire eagerly the spiritual gifts, especially that you should prophesy. So I thought, well, why settle for the rest? Let's go for the especialist. So. So I thought, yeah, okay, I'll go for the prophetic. I was in a brethren church. I didn't have a church background, got baptized in the Spirit. Then I started attending a church. So it was all like, I assumed all Christians were charismatic and believed in the gifts. And went to a brethren church and I discovered that it wasn't that case. And they have this breaking of bread open meeting where you're allowed to, you know, like share anything from the word of God. So I stood up and prophesied, assuming that, you know, this is what they did. And I got taken aside afterwards and said, yeah, we don't do that anymore. And I said, why not? It's in the Bible. And they said, yeah, the gifts went out with the apostles. Okay, interesting. So, but there was like a charismatic guy in the church, and he took me aside and taught me how to prophesy in prayer, taught me how to prophesy in different ways that would be acceptable to the people in the church. So that was a great lesson for me about, you know, like working out how I could be prophetic in that kind of an environment. And then, like the seeing thing as well, I was like seeing, you know, things like angels and demons, and didn't know what to do with it. And I went to a Christian friend, because I was just a new Christian, and said, so what do you do when you see, you know, angels and demons? What do you do about that? And he just gave me this really weird look, and I thought, okay, this isn't normal. So I didn't tell anyone for 30 years, actually. I didn't tell anyone that I was still seeing all this stuff. I just used it for prayer. So I'd see, like, you know, things over people and stuff like that, and I'd just pray for them. And it was only, you know, maybe a few years ago that I realized, actually, seers are in the Bible, and suddenly realized that the seer could be combined with the prophetic, and I could express the prophetic that way. So that was my journey. I've come to the end of my piece of paper. That's pretty much my journey and my talk. To sum it up, take risks, step out, and be motivated by love. It must be love. Whatever you do, it's got to be love. If you're loving, then you can't fail, really, in the prophetic.
Thank you so much, Ian. Ian's been very modest and just hasn't told you some of the adventures he's been in, but maybe we can tease one or two of those out a little bit later. But, you know, I just wanted to say again tonight, you know, we shared it, but we're all prophetic, actually. We all hear God. You know, the Spirit of God flows through us in most unexpected ways. So I don't want anyone feel, you know, tonight here, oh, this is all foreign to me. You are more prophetic than you might imagine. And God delights, you know, to speak through us. He's all we've got, really. It's His sons and daughters. And, I love to hear His voice. I was saying, I saw my son lives just outside London. I saw him this morning. And he's never met my earthly dad. And I said to him, I'm just so sorry that, you know, one day, you know, it'll be in glory, Steve, you'll meet your grandfather. But I was just saying to him, you know, how much, Steve, he would have loved you. And he said, well, Dad, I've got you. And I said, yeah, you've got me. But you've also got a heavenly father that loves you. I had to go, you know, really quite suddenly yesterday down to London to see him. He's got a few problems at the moment. He said, Dad, I just need someone to talk to. And I'm kind of thinking, this is not ideal timing, son. But we just shared this morning over breakfast, you know, that we have a God who can speak into every situation. And he said to me, Dad, can he really speak into this particular situation? And it's a very tough one, which we won't go into. And I said, indeed he can. I said, you know, why don't we wait on the Spirit now? Just see what God's got to say, whether something will come through. So we were just in this, it's a great place. See, you can wait on God anywhere. So we're in this greasy spoon, right? He says to me, I dread it. He says, Dad, I'll take you out to breakfast. I think, I know where we're going to go anyway. But we're just sitting there this morning, and I just said, okay, God's heard this conversation. Now, Steve, let's hear what he's saying. And, you know, just one or two words, you know, just began. You know, he's not very eloquent, my lad, you know. I mean, he's got other gifts. He's very, very practical. I can't do anything practical. But together we were hearing the word of God. And I said, isn't it a joy that our everlasting Father ever lives and wants to speak through us. And I said to him, you know what, Steve? He's just moved to another church after 14 years. It's all very amicable. There's a good reason why he's done this. And I said, God's taking you there for a purpose that you may encourage. And I said, I just want you every day just to be waiting to lead your wife, to lead your family into a new dimension in hearing God. And he dropped me off at the station. He said, oh, thanks for coming down, Dad. I said, you know what? You've got a heavenly Father who doesn't need to get on the train. You can hear him. But, you know, we're glad to fellowship together. Okay. What we're going to do now, we just have a little break for about 3 or 4 minutes. Anybody wants a comfort break? And then we're going to come back and we're just going to wait on the Spirit. And Ian will be with me. And we're just going to minister to one another. This is really to set an appetite for what we want to do later in the month, next, or it'll be in August then, won't it? Next week, as we together minister, you ministering to me, etc., etc. You know, one of the ways in which we hear God is in the training of our, you know, our senses, particularly in terms of our hearing, our seeing, and our touch. And those three senses are all mentioned in the first 4 chapters of the book of Hebrews. You know, in book of Hebrews, particularly in chapters 1 and 3, we have the sense of hearing. It says in Hebrews 5 that people develop their senses in such a way that they could discern good and evil. If we're going to be hearing God, we need to become a very sensitive people. Not in the sense that we're getting hurt every 2 minutes, but our senses are, you know, in we need to be careful what we take on board, don't we? I confess I'm a great newspaper reader, but I am very careful what I do read. And we need to be careful what we see. These are obvious things. I'm simply saying them because, you know, what goes in? If we're receiving the wrong information, the wrong sights, not good is going to come out. We need to be feeding ourselves constantly on that which edifies and that which builds up. Let me just read you a few verses from the book of Hebrews. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Now just note these next verses. The number of times it says say or spoken or said. For to which of the angels did God ever say? Verse 5, and again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, verse 8, but about the Son, he says, verse 10, he also says, verse 13, to which of the angels did God ever say? You know, God is speaking to us today through his Son. And note this in verse 3, chapter 3, in that very well-known passage where it says, is it in verse 8, today, if you hear his voice. But just notice, it's really at the end of verse 7 and then going into verse 8 of Hebrews 3. So as the Holy Spirit says, now this is quoting Psalm 95, and you would think that the writer to the Hebrews would have said, as the Holy Spirit said, but it isn't. It's as the Holy Spirit says. So as Ian was saying earlier this evening, you know, the Holy Spirit brings alive the Word of God. So what the writer to the Hebrews is saying, however many centuries or whatever Psalm 95 is written, it's as relevant then as it is today. It's as relevant today as it was then. As the Holy Spirit says, as Psalm 95 says to you and to me, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And we just need to have that soft, that malleable nature about us that can just reflect the great things of God as we hear his voice, as the Holy Spirit says. Ian, just give one or two instances of how God, you know, you felt has either spoken to you or spoken through you.
For me, I see like objects over people. So it's like the seeing gift. So, and the object over the person will be like a word of knowledge or a clue as to, you know, something about the person. So. One time I saw over somebody an ice cream cone, and so I said, you know, I see over you an ice cream cone, and I see you in an ice cream van.
and you're giving out ice creams, and they're just the cones, and as you give them out, there's ice cream just appearing, and it's very tasty, and I see children rushing and taking the ice creams, and it's really delicious, and then they're telling their friends and their family, and they're all coming to the ice cream van, and I see that there's like healing in the ice cream as well, and it's just a place of great blessing. So afterwards, I wanting to be accountable and follow up thing, I said, you know, did that mean anything to you? And he said, well, he said, I'm actually in the process of buying an ice cream van. he said, I work with children, I work in children's work, and I've been thinking about expanding that into including, like, you know, more of the family and like all age kind of thing, and I want to, you know, do like healing thing. So you know, that was good, but that's kind of like you know, an explanation of really how it works for me. So I can see anyway various things over some of you here. The lady not quite in the back, you stood at the beginning and prayed, is that right? Yeah. So I saw over you this dove. And it's like the dove of peace and also the dove of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that that God's given you the weapon of peace, that he wants to use peace through you to open up things, that it's not just a passive thing, it's not just for you, but actually it's something that you can give to other people, you can impart peace. I believe that also it's like that dove of his presence, that God is calling you into his presence to be with him, to take on that savour, that flavour of him. And as you do that, you'll be able to minister out of presence and out of identity as well as God's child. So just enjoy time in God's presence. And peace is a weapon. The gentleman there at the back who was recording the CDs or the tapes, I saw you with like an apron around your waist, and I believe that that God's given you a real servant heart. And I saw, you know, like in John 13, where Jesus knelt down and he washed the disciples' feet, and he said, you know, go and do the same to them. I believe that that's what God said to you, that Jesus sees the service that you give, and that it's a fragrant offering to him, and that he delights in what you do. And although it's unseen to other people, it's not unseen to him, and he wants to know that it really blesses him, and he's, you know, grateful for it. This gentleman, frankly, I saw you with a catapult of faith. I believe that God wants to stretch you in faith, that there are things that God wants you to do that you're only going to be able to achieve through faith, and that means that you need to be prepared to take risks. So that means that, you know, sometimes it might seem that you're doing a silly thing, but don't worry about that, that as you step out and be bold in your faith, that God will meet you at the other end, and you will do great things for him. I believe too that God wants to give you the courage of a lion, that he's calling you to roar, that you have a voice that people need to hear, and that as you speak it out in faith, that mountains will move. Mm. The lady here on the end who's typing at the computer. So I saw over you. Well, it wasn't so much seeing over you, but I believe that God's given you a breaker anointing. That he's calling you to like break through walls that other people have built, that you have a persistence about you that is from God, like a doggedness almost, that you know if you know something's right, you're just going to go for it and persist and break through. And I believe that that's a persistence and a breakthrough from God. But I also believe it's not just for you. I see you breaking through walls and then turning around and saying to people, Luke, there's no longer a wall. Here's a break in the wall, come through. I believe that you've got that pioneer breakthrough anointing on you, and that you need to just step and do those things. Don't let the walls stop you from pursuing what God's calling you to do. And the gentleman in the check shirt and the glasses, we spoke before. So I believe that there's like this, it's like, well, I suppose what it is I just saw this hatchet over your head. what it is, yeah, it's a rescue thing, you know, like a fireman goes in and he rescues people, that there's almost like there's that evangelistic, like prophetic kind of thing about you, that you want to see the lost saved, that you're not content to see them where they are. And I believe that that's a passion that he's given to you, and that he's saying, you know, be prepared to run into the burning buildings to rescue the people who are lost. Other people might, you know, shy away, but you run in and bear those flames to rescue the lost, and he will give you those souls.
Okay, now, is there a resonance here for some of this? Yeah, a little, okay. I just want to say to you, Ian, I don't want to interrupt your flow. Okay, now, you received those words. At what point did you receive them? As you were launching out in faith, as you stood before, or when you met people, you just felt, wow, this is what, you know, God's saying. Can you just be a little, open up a little bit on that?
Yeah, okay. Oh, I suppose it is training, isn't it, as well? So a part of it is, so you might have noticed that I was looking around at the beginning of the meeting, I don't really want to meet people because I don't want people to give me clues. I'm trying to stay in the corner and avoid people and look and just see. You know, I'm looking for objects over people. Some of those objects I saw before, you know, I stood. Others happened as I'm here, which is obviously a bit riskier. That's how. And then so that's the object. But that's only the start. Then I have to go back to God and say, well, what does that mean? I might see the same object I've seen over somebody else, and it'll mean something different this time. I can't assume that one object means one thing. So always I'm in dialogue with God and just asking, what's that mean? What are you saying? What are you saying about this person? And love.
Ian, another facet, another area in which, you know, we were talking earlier, in which God, you know, been using you and beginning to use you more. Incidentally, I was amazed at something you said tonight. Did you say that you'd sat on some of this for 30 years? That you'd, I think that's incredible, don't you? That, you know, I mean, I just praise God for, you know, your discipline in that and just waiting on him. I mean, some people would have bursted over a period like that. But, you know, the Holy Spirit isn't always in a hurry, is he? He nurtures things. He nurtures us and just brings us to that place. What I was going to say was, you were sharing about dreams. You know, you mentioned this as a facet of one of the ways in which we hear God. What's your experience in dream and dream interpretation?
These are all the things I was supposed to share with the talk. For me with dreams, so sometimes I have literal dreams where I'll dream something the day before it happens. An example of that would be Sunday night. It must be Saturday night because it was before the Sunday. I dreamt about a particular person, and I thought, that must be like a burden to pray for them. I must say, you know, when I get up, I'll pray for this particular person. And in the dream, they appeared, and I gave them a hug. And he didn't go to my church. So I went to church as normal, and just starting in the worship, and I turn around, and this guy that I'd seen in the dream is standing next to me. And I mean, I've not, you know, he's never been to our church, and he just gave me a hug. So I knew, I'd already prayed for him, so I knew that was like, you know, that was a God dream. Other times it can be like quite symbolic and you're trying to work out, you know, what it means. There's books on dream interpretation and things, but but always, like Daniel and people like that who had dreams, always took the dreams back to God and said, what does this mean? So even with books, you know, saying like, you know, flying kite means whatever, you still need to go back to God and you still need to ask him, you know, what that means. So is that?
Ian, as I said, works in Cambridge. He came from work this evening, and I was just sharing with Ian, we were just talking about dreams and dream interpretation. I have this dream from time to time, and I know it's quite a familiar dream. I dream of flying. I mean, I've had this two or three times. Now, I want to share this for a particular purpose. I know in talking to one or two people last week, you know, you're familiar with Bill Johnson's ministry. I went to Harrogate to a conference there a couple of years ago. And the night we stayed in a bed and breakfast in Harrogate, and I had this dream of flying. It was so vivid. And then I went to the meeting, and there was a guy, not one of the team, just somebody attending the conference. And there was a completely unnecessary, I judged on an appearance of a guy, you know, who was, well, you know, long pigtails, you know, completely tattooed from head to foot. And I thought, okay. Fine, and please understand, no problem with long hair. I've really got a problem, you know, with tattoos. It's not that. But I just thought, he's going to minister to me. And I thought, Lord, just help me. We were put in groups, and sure enough, I'm put in a group with this man and his wife. And he comes over to me, and he talked quite roughly like this. And he said, you're going to fly, you are. And I said, tell me more. So he said, you've been thinking about flying. You've been dreaming about flying. And he said, God's going to take you higher than you, you know. And I just thought, but that humbled me, you know, in the prophetic. Don't make a judgment before we start. I wanted to avoid being in that guy's group. But you see, God, you know, no, seriously, I had to learn that. God works through us all. You know what I mean? And we need to be, you know, ready to hear him, just to be ready, you know, for the unexpected. And can I just say, there are seasons in the prophetic. There's no question. The gift of the prophetic is not ours. God gives it. And God doesn't use us all the time. He works through different people. I don't own anything. I praise God for his love, but I just want to be open, you know, to whatever, you know, he may do. Ian sees pictures, and maybe some of you do, and that's wonderful. I see things, I suppose it's because of my background. It's words for me. I tend to just get words. And I find that God tends to use me, as Ian said earlier tonight, through some sort of biblical interpretation. You know what I mean? There's something, you know, that God has done. You know that scripture, we heard it tonight, you know, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. The trouble in 2017 is, listen, Lord, your servant speaks. There's so much speaking. We need to be, you know, waiting, you know, patiently, you know, for the Lord. I'm just feeling a word for brother here in the grey pullover. I just sense you, brother. I don't think we know each other. Clearly, it's not just an age thing, but obviously you could get up and sing, through many toils and snares I have already come. But I just want you to know, and I just sense, again, in terms of words for you tonight, again, another season. God says, don't look back and say, well, I've done this and I've done that. there's a newness. There's a newness in your step. It's like when Jacob was at Peniel. He knew what it was to wrestle with God, but he walked with a limp. You walk with a dignity as of a man who's overcome, who's been through some battles, but knows that God is mighty and gracious. And there's a whole new season that God just wants to open up for you. God says, don't look back, look forward. You walk with the dignity of a man who's been through some battles, coming into a whole new place. God loves you and has great purpose for you.
Can I share a word for the church? Is that okay? I really feel that that you as a church, that God's called you to be a church for the nations. You know, it says of the house of the Lord, that it will be a house of the Lord for the nations, for prayer. And, you know, I see that as both ways. It's like the nations in the house praying and the house praying for the nations. And I believe God's called you to be both, to be a house of prayer for the nations and also for the nations to be here amongst you. And I saw, it was like each of you with embers in your hands. And I believe that God wants to stir each of you, not just in the prophetic, but in the gifts of the Spirit, to have those embers. And I saw you all combining those embers together and it becoming like a fire, a great fire here in this place. And I believe that God wants a fire to burn here, but it's going to take all of you with your embers. So stir up that fire within you, step out in the gifts, and God will make you a house of prayer for the nations.
Okay, we want to overdo this, tonight, because we want to do fresh things for next week. But I do just see Terry here and Juanita, and I just simply feel a word for you that you've been pioneers, and you're probably thinking, oh, I don't want a word about being a pioneer again. But no. But no, what I want to say to you is, good and faithful servants, that which you've begun is going to finish very, very well. It's going to finish very, very well. Of course, there have been concerns and there have been some anxieties on your journey. That would be inevitable. But God sees you as a husband and wife, a man and woman of peace. The joy of the Lord is your strength. But God wants to reveal that to you in a new way. I'm just sensing that's a verse you often recite. But I believe God says, Terry, Juanita, the joy of my joy really is your strength. And your strength will continue as the joy arises within you. But God wants you to hear that which you've begun is going to finish very, very well. And he would say to you, I've got plans, for this church that are beyond your wildest dreams. I know, because these things have been shared, that there's the mantle upon Trevor at the moment. But God's already preparing the next generation to take this mighty work forward. And God wants you to rest in a peace and in assurance that he is there and he will do this thing. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, look, I just feel we should finish here tonight. We just finish on... At this moment, we're a little bit before time. That's all right. I'm going to pray God's Spirit I just want to sense that, you know, you begin, even now, I believe God, there's no point in just waiting for a group activity on a Monday night in the prophetic. It can begin now. It really can. And maybe there are phone calls or whatever, or things that you need to do this week just to simply encourage. Something that was said tonight, it was also said last week, but hear it again. One of the best ways to start in the prophetic is just to speak the scripture, but in a loving way. You know what I mean? Just lovingly speaking the scriptures. And that can be so powerful when you just say to somebody else, and we've all done it, but I encourage you to do it again. Bring a word that just says, you know, God loves you. God's grace is upon you. You bring joy to others. Simple things like this, they're all within the Word of God, and we need to hear it. As I might have said, I can't remember now. Well, I said this last week. One of the problems about being British, or not everyone here I know is English, but we English, we're so quick to put everything down. And we're not, there's nobody here tonight feeling over-encouraged, I'm sure. But we can encourage one another in the Word of God, in the words we bring. I have a friend, he died recently, very young age, geography teacher. He brought many of his students to the Lord through teaching geography. How did he do that? Because the Spirit of God was in him. And the pupils wanted to say, Adrian, what makes you tick? And we can do that just by being ourselves. Cause there to be a hunger in other people that says, well, you know, give a reason for the hope that's within you. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you. Bless you for your goodness and your grace. Father, thank you that you've got much work to do here. And Lord, yes, I say amen to that word this evening, that a church of all nations, a church of prayer for all nations. Lord, I just thank you and bless you for all that's happened. Praise you for all that's going to happen. And Father, I just ask, Lord, that you would put such a feeling within our hearts that, Lord, we just feel that holy fire. We know that Jesus said, I come to baptize, but to baptize you with the Spirit and with fire. Lord, fire, fire. Let there be fire in the church of God. Oh, Father, would you just prepare us over these next few days, over these next period, whatever it is, that there be fire, fire, fire in the church of God. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless people in your Spirit, baptize them in your Spirit, Father, and release us all with the ability to prophesy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.